Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to be here with all of you today as we have this opportunity to spend time together in God's Word. So please keep your Bibles open. Just one thing to share before we get into our message today. I know Pastor John meant to say this as well, but we're used to seeing flowers on the altar, and they're there in honor of certain things. And on your worship folders, it's always listed there, the things that we're honoring in memory of, anniversaries. We're not sure what happened, why the flowers are not here today, but we will definitely make that right, but still want to honor those because the flowers were meant to be in memory of Del Harnish, also in memory of Jenny Lotion, and also celebrating Greg and Sharon's anniversary as well. So we just want, again, to know that we are thinking of and honoring each of these things. So please keep these things in your minds and hearts today as well. I'm thankful that in Romans today, we're reminded about how God is all about making things right, even in our own lives. And so as we prepare to get into God's word today, would you join me as we go to him in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together today. As we sang together, we thank you for your goodness. We praise you for your faithfulness. And on this day of Pentecost, Father God, we are thankful for the gift of Jesus, who died for us, who rose for us, who lives for us. And Jesus, your promise to give to us the gift of the Holy Spirit, to not just be with us, but to be in us, to help us know your truth and to be empowered to live it out in the everyday places of life. And so today, as we spend time with you and your word, fill us, we pray, with the gift of your Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, amen. If you have your Bibles open and if you're looking there at Romans chapter 5, it begins with the word therefore. I had this word starting the text I was preaching on a few weeks ago. Anytime we see this word, we are to ask the question, what is it therefore? And the reason it's there is to cause us to think back, to look back on what we've been told up to this point as Paul continues in what was a letter and it's building. And so we go back to chapter 1 and we're reminded how it's there that Paul says that he is not ashamed of the gospel, nor should we be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. In chapter 3, he reminds us it is true that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and yet he says what is also true is that we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then chapter 4, just from last week, being reminded how we, again, are justified through faith. The righteous shall live by faith in Christ. It is for all of these reasons, then, that Paul says, and it should say on the slide, Romans 5, chapter 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, these things are true. I want to talk about this gift of justification for a moment because it is a gift of God. Justification is all about being made right again with God. There is a price to be paid for sin, and Jesus pays that price himself with the shedding of his blood, with his death given for us on the cross. It is therefore for the sake of Jesus that God declares, it's not about what we do, it's what Jesus has done, and God declares us to be right again, justified. If you have your Bibles, look with me. Our reading ended with verse 5, but if we keep reading, Pastor John mentioned verse 6 in our time of confession, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 9, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Verse 10, For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life? And then Paul says, verse 11, even more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. All of that speaks to the gift of justification. And that gift of justification, it results in certain things. Paul touches on some of these things. The first, he says, is it results in a peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God, and it is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I do want to make note that what Paul says here is we have peace with God, and this is different than having a peace that is from God or a peace that is of God. Both of those are true and both are important, and we'll get to those, but it begins with having a peace with God. Again, as Paul has reminded us, there was a time when we were enemies of God. There was a time where sin separated us from God. But through Christ Jesus, we have been brought back to be with God. And now we live at peace with him and he with us. It results from this other benefit that comes to us, this blessing through justification, the gift of God's grace, a grace in which we stand. Through him, Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace, a grace in which we stand. That word in the Greek, to stand, the word being used here, it means to be brought near. It means to introduce, meaning it's all about relationship. How can we be in relationship with one if we don't know them, if we're not brought near to them, if we don't stand together? That's what God's grace does. And this standing in God's grace, it's also a standing under. A standing under of his presence, a standing under of his promises. And it is God's gift of grace that provides for us a safe place, a place of refuge, a place to live and to dwell. Even in the Old Testament, this place is touched on in places like Psalm 46. God, you are a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Or how about in Psalm 119, verse 114, God, you are my hiding place. You are my shield, and my hope is in you. My hope is in your word. A word that speaks grace, a word that speaks truth, a word that brings us to a place of hope. That is the third blessing that Paul touches on here that comes from being in this relationship with God, having peace with God, being justified by faith through Jesus Christ. We are brought to this place of having hope, hope of the glory of God, meaning it is a hope that is now, already, and not yet. It's a hope not yet in the sense that we still wait for the day for Jesus to come again, to bring us to be with him, to see God in the fullness of his glory, where there will be no more sin or death or dying or crying when we live with him in a new heaven and a new earth and new bodies. That is a future hope that we wait for that day to come. But Jesus has also made the glory of God, the kingdom of God, the things of God, a reality in our lives in the here and the now. And so it is an already. I want to talk about this word hope for a moment, because everyone hopes. Everyone puts their hope in someone or something. And so what are we hoping in? What are we hoping for? Consider for a moment this question. What are you asking of something or someone when you place your hope in it? Here's what we're asking. You're asking to give you a peace of heart. You're asking it to give your life meaning. You're asking it to give you purpose and direction. You're asking it to give you a reason to continue. You're asking it to help you get through difficulty and disappointment. You're asking it to free you from envy or anxiety. You're asking it to give you joy in the morning and rest at night. Now, all of that is a lot to ask of something or someone. And if these things that you are hoping for, if that hope is not being met, then chances are you have put your hope in the wrong thing. Hope is a gift that comes from God. The hope that Paul talks about here is, again, not just a wishful thinking, but is a hope that is confident and certain in the things of God. Like Pastor John talked about last week, the difference between believing in God. Sure, I believe in God. I know about God. But do I believe God? Do I trust God? Do I trust in his words? That hope that we have is not just a hope in God, but one that hopes, that trusts, that believes God and his word to be true. And it leads us through faith to being certain, even in the midst of uncertainty. That's what Paul is talking about here. It is a hope that is able to see our life and every situation we're faced with, to see it all, to view it all through the whole story of God, from Genesis to Revelation. Timothy Keller, in his commentary on Romans, he talks about it this way. He says, in Christ, we have been freed from our past. Our old record of rebellion and sin, it is put away, and we have peace with God. And so we are free in the present to enjoy personal relationship with God, and we will one day, future, most certainly experience the freedom of life lived in the full and awesome presence of God's glory. Our hope is in view of the whole story of God. Our hope is in the past, the present, and the future. And we can ask ourselves the question, why is knowing this important? And the reason is this. In chapter 3, Paul has already established in Romans, we all sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And now here in chapter 5, he says, not only have we all sinned, but all of us are affected by, we all suffer. I'm guessing I don't have to convince anyone here that that is true. We've all, in our own way, experienced suffering. We've all experienced difficulty. And it comes as the result of the sin and the brokenness in the world that is all around us, and that ways affects us each. Here's the thing about this suffering. What I also want us to know is that, yes, even though we all sin, and yes, even though we all suffer, what we see to be true, and Paul, he talks about this. He'll talk about it more in chapter 8 of Romans, but he talks about it here, how God has a way of taking the bad and making good come from it. Have you experienced that in your own life? How God is able to take the things that are working against us and make good come from it? As we sang earlier, that is how good our God is. That is how faithful our God is. And so what is some of the good that God is working even in the midst of the struggles that we have? What we have to keep in mind here, and I mentioned this earlier, The difference between peace with God and a peace of God, or a peace that comes from God, because that is now what Paul is talking about here in the midst of suffering. It's what Paul talks about in his letter to the church in Philippi, in Philippians 4, where he says, all of us at times are anxious. All of us at times worry. But he says, don't be anxious, don't worry. Why? Because the Lord is near. And so thank him for what he's done. Remember God's faithfulness in the past so that you can trust him in the present. And then pray. Pray trusting in him. Tell him what you need. And know that God is going to give to you a peace that is beyond human understanding. A peace that will guard and protect our hearts and minds as we trust and as we live in God. He is talking about a peace of God, a peace from God, which is the result of having peace with God. And what makes it a peace beyond human understanding is because in the world, we typically think of peace as coming after. After the storm, there's a calm. After war, there's a time of peace. But God's peace is different. God's peace is able to come to us in the midst of the difficulties, the brokenness, the suffering of this world. And so we can suffer and at the same time, be at peace. A peace that surpasses human understanding. And what does it result in? Keep in mind, in no way is Paul here in Romans chapter 5 saying, we should go looking for suffering. That's not what he's saying. Suffering has a way of finding us. But he says, even when we suffer, he says, we are able to rejoice, just like he says in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again, rejoice. Why is that? Well, through him, Jesus, this is verse 2, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace. It's the result of, again, being in peace with God. It's a grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but he says we rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Well, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Another word is perseverance. Patient endurance that perseveres. It is a gift of God. As God promises to come to be with us, to go with us through the valleys, through the struggles of life. And God, who knows then that that suffering, though it leads to perseverance, that perseverance has a way of leading to character. But not just any character. The character being talked about here in Romans 5, it is a character that is being tested. It is like the testing of metals. That's the picture that we have here. It's a refining. And so there is, through the testing, there is a forming, there is a shaping, there is a strengthening that is happening. If I could, I would like to quote Pastor John, something he said just the other day when Annie and I were meeting, talking through this text. Pastor John said something, and I'm like, oh, that's good. I'm going to write that down. Great trials have a way of turning into great transformation. Great trials in life that we sometimes face when God, through the gift of his Holy Spirit, is working in us and through us, he is able to use those things to refine us, to form us, to transform us, to be more like Christ. Christ who came to suffer with us. Christ who came to suffer for us. And so this suffering leads to perseverance, this patient endurance, which leads to character. And not just character, but a refining of character, a testing, a forming, a shaping, a strengthening. And that character refined leads to what? Right back to where Paul was beginning. Hope. But not just any hope, a hope that is in God. And so how are we assured that all of this is true? Well, we are assured in these words. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we can be assured of this. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We can be assured because of God's great love for us. We can be assured no matter what situation we find ourselves faced with, that because of the love that God has showed through the sending of his Son, Jesus, who died and rose for us, we can be assured that Jesus' death and resurrection, it changes everything, including the situations, even the suffering that we sometimes are faced with. And so the suffering, it has a way, as we live with peace with God, to lead us to this place of continuing to endure as God promises, invites us to come and to be with him as he walks with us, as he allows us to stand in that gift of grace, a grace that provides for us a safe place, a refuge, a place in his presence and the promise of that presence. It is then that God leads us through the work of his Spirit, a transforming, a shaping, a refining, to become more and more like Christ. And it leads us here to a place of hope. No matter what we are faced with, God invites us to have hope. Keeping in mind, hope is not a thing. Hope, true biblical hope, it's a person. And his name is Jesus. To him and to him alone be praise, glory, and honor. And all of God's people said, amen. May we live together in peace with God. And may that peace with God lead us to a place of hope. Hope in and through Jesus. Amen.